Moses witnesses the creation, Moses 2, the days of creation and temple architecture, Moses 2, 1 through 27. Book of Moses Essay number 46, by the Book of Mormon Central Team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. The illustration above from M.C. Escher depicts the first day of creation when, quote, "the earth was without form and void, and I caused darkness to come upon the face of the deep, and my spirit moved upon the face of the water, for I am God," end of quote. The Hebrew term, here translated moved, is used in Deuteronomy 32:11 to describe an eagle hovering attentively over its young. In addition, one cannot help but recall the imagery of Jesus mourning for Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not, end of quote. Consistent with such a picture, the Book of Abraham employs the term brooding, the patient action of a mother bird by which eggs are incubated before they hatch. The imagery of brooding highlights not only the loving care of the Creator for his creation, but may also allude to atonement symbolism. For example, Margaret Barker admits the possibility of a subtle wordplay in examining the reversal of consonantal sounds between brood, hover, and atone. Atonement is arguably the central symbolism of Israelite temples and may be reflected not only in the symbolism of day one of creation, but also in the overall schema for the unfolding of the universe, as we outline in more detail below. While it is true that some significant details were added to Genesis in the translation of Moses 2, it is perhaps more noteworthy that the effort resulted in no major reshaping of the creation story itself. As to the significant details, a brief prologue affirming that the account derives from the words of the Lord directly to Moses is added in verse 1. The repetition of the phrase, quote, "I God," throughout the chapter also emphasizes its first-hand nature. Importantly, the fact that all things were created by mine only begotten is made clear, as is the Son's identity as the co-creator at the time when God said, quote, "Let us make man." Consistent with the words of Christ to the brother of Jared, we learn that man was created in the image of the only begotten, which is equated to being created in God's own image. Apart from these important points, the structure and basic premises of the Genesis account of creation were left intact. That said, in reading the description of the 7 days of creation and the layout of the Garden of Eden, there seems to be more than meets the eye, including hints of temple themes. Can some of the enigmas of the creation accounts be resolved through an understanding of the architecture of the Israelite temples? We think so. Differences among the four basic creation stories. The Latter-day Saints have four basic creation stories, found in Genesis, the Book of Moses, the Book of Abraham, and the Temple. In contrast to the latter two accounts that emphasize the planning of the heavenly council and the work involved in setting the cosmological, geological, and biological processes in motion, the companion accounts of Genesis and the Book of Moses seem deliberately designed to relate the heavenly creation of the universe to the layout of the physical temple on earth. In addition, as we'll see in a later essay, careful study of the first chapters of Genesis and the Book of Moses also reveals that not only the creation, but also the Garden of Eden provided a model for the architecture of the temple. The day-by-day description found in Genesis and the Book of Moses seemed to have been deliberately shaped to highlight a step-by-step correspondence between the creation of each element of the universe and the architecture and furnishings of the tabernacle and later Israelite temples. Understanding these parallels helps explain why, for example, in seeming contradiction to scientific understanding, the description of the creation of the sun and moon appears after, rather than before, the creation of light and of the earth. In Genesis and the Book of Moses, conveying the spiritual truths of how heavenly realities are symbolically reflected in earthly temples takes precedence over the scientific truths of how the creation unfolded in physical processes over long time periods. With this in mind, it becomes clear that the Genesis and the Book of Moses creation accounts should not be quickly dismissed as naive and outdated pre-scientific cosmology. Rather, they should be read as sophisticated reflections of temple theology. While relevant to ancient Israelite tradition, they are also of special interest to Latter-day Saint temple goers. The Days of Creation and Temple Architecture. Building on threads in Jewish tradition, Old Testament scholar Margaret Barker suggests that the architecture of the tabernacle in ancient Israel temples is modeled on Moses' vision of the creation. In this view, the results of each day of creation are symbolically reflected in the temple furnishings. For example, the light of day one of creation might be understood as the glory of God and those who dwelled with him in the celestial world prior to their mortal birth. According to this logic, the temple veil that divided the temple holy of holies from the holy place would symbolize the firmament that was created to separate the heavens from the earth in its original terrestrial state. A closer look at the word firmament in Hebrew confirms this interpretation as plausible. Joseph Smith translated Abraham as expanse instead of firmament. The prophet's choice of the word expanse seems to have been based upon the Hebrew grammar book that he used during his study of Hebrew in Kirtland. According to the biblical scholar Nahum Sarna, quote, "The verbal form of the Hebrew term is often used for hammering out metal or flattening out earth, which suggests a basic meaning of extending," end of quote. This could well apply to the idea of the spreading out of a curtain or veil. In light of the correspondences between the story of creation in Genesis and the making of the tabernacle in Exodus, the concept of the firmament as a veil merits further study as a contrasting alternative to other biblical descriptions where it is clearly understood, or perhaps misunderstood, as a solid dome. Lewis Ginsburg's reconstruction of ancient Jewish sources is consistent with this overall idea, as well as with the suggestion of several scholars that a narrative of the creation story, something like Genesis 1, may have been used within temple ceremonies in ancient Israel. 1. God told the angels, "On the first day of creation I shall make the heavens and stretch them out. So will Israel raise up the tabernacle as the dwelling place of my glory." 2. "On the second day I shall put a division between the terrestrial waters and the heavenly waters. So will my servant Moses hang up a veil in the tabernacle to divide the holy place and the most holy." 3. "On the third day I shall make the earth to put forth grass and herbs. So will he, in obedience to my commands, prepare showbread before me." 4. "On the fourth day I shall make the luminaries. So he will stretch out a golden candlestick or menorah before me." 5. "On the fifth day I shall create the birds, so he will fashion the cherubim with outstretched wings." 6. "On the sixth day I shall create man, so will Israel set aside a man from the sons of Aaron as a high priest for my service." End of quote. Carrying this idea forward to a later time, Exodus 40:33 describes how Moses completed the tabernacle. The Hebrew text exactly parallels the account of how God finished creation. Genesis Rabbah comments on the significance of this parallel, quote, "It is as if on that day," in other words, the day that the tabernacle was raised in the wilderness, "I actually created the world," end of quote. With this idea in mind, Hugh Nibley famously called the temple, quote, "a scale model of the universe," end of quote. The idea that the process of creation provides a model for subsequent temple building and ritual is found elsewhere in the ancient Near East. For example, this is made explicit in Hugh Nibley's reading of the first, second, and sixth lines of the Babylonian creation story, Enuma Elish. Quote, "At once above, when the heavens had not yet received their name and the earth below was not yet named, the most inner sanctuary of the temple had not yet been built." End of quote. Consistent with this reading, the account goes on to tell how the god Ea founded his sanctuary after having established his dwelling, vanquished and trodden down his foes, and rested in the sacred chamber. Conclusion. Understanding the similitude that Moses makes between the days of creation and the temple explains its divergences from strictly scientific accounts. This temple symbolism in creation will also be essential in understanding the layout of the Garden of Eden and the events of the fall. Temple-going Latter-day Saints are in the best position of any living group to interpret these stories in their original context.